Okay, well, let's see. We better get over here to Mary, who's calling us from Cincinnati. Wow.
Hi, Dr. Wright.
Hello, ma'am. What's
I
on your
want to
mind?
know if you believe with hormone balancing, you need to get all the hormones, the estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and DHEA in range, or just some of those in range and don't worry about all the others.
The one I worry about the least is the estriol. Estriol is one of the three so-called major estrogens. However, despite being major, it's a lot weaker than the estradiol and estrone. So if it happens to go a little high, which I do see sometimes, I'm not near as worried about it. Now, if I saw the other two major estrogens, estrone and estradiol, high, I wouldn't want to leave it that way because those two are. Well, actually, the estrone itself is more procarcinogenic, and the estradiol can, as they say, go either way. Whereas the estriol only contacts estrogen receptor beta, which is strictly an anticarcinogenic receptor. So, anyway, that's on the estrogens. DHEA, a lady will know how when her DHEA is too high, she gets zits. That's just the way it goes. Guys don't do that as easy, but women, they tell me they're getting pimples. I tell them, cut down the DHEA, please, and they do. And what do you know? They quit getting zits. So there you can get a signal. Now, testosterone, yeah, you can go too high on that too. But, usually that'll show up as a mustache, a light mustache in a couple, 3 months, you'd know. But the summary of all that, ma'am, is the two to watch out for the most being higher, the estradiol and the estrone. And the others, well, we don't want them low either. We just want them within the female normal range.
So if you're getting bioidentical hormones and the person that's assisting you isn't getting your testosterone in range or isn't concerned about getting that so much in range and it's low and they aren't concerned too much about getting the DHEA in range and it's low, then that goes against your kind of general theory. Is that right?
Absolutely, ma'am. I'm nothing, a very, 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 very good copycat. And if nature wants a woman's testosterone and DHEA within a certain range, even if I don't understand the reason, which I sort of think I do, but even if I don't, nature takes it over my opinion anytime, ma'am. So I want it within the range that nature puts it in, ladies. That's very important to me and to the lady, too.
So, this theory or this explanation, this would apply to treating osteoporosis or other problems as well, not just in general. It would definitely apply to treating osteoporosis with bioidentical hormones. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We
Okay.
just want to, for the safest and most effective natural medicine, we want to copy what nature does. We don't want to ignore it.
Okay.
And
And
by
then
the
I
way,
have a second.
I heard you have a second question, but just one more thing. For some ladies, if they happen to be pre-diabetic or type 2 diabetic, their bodies will take a whole lot of that testosterone and DHEA and turn it into estrogen. And that makes it a little difficult to achieve the goal with testosterone and DHEA because the body is just going zoom, 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 turn it into estrogen. In that case, we have to be working on the type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes as well as trying to get the hormones straightened out. Okay, I'll shut up.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I'd like to know, you said that a lot of times when older people, they bruise easily, that could be a cobalt deficiency.
It's a particular kind of bruise that was described by Dr. John Ellis long, long ago. It's kind of a one that, not kind of, it is one that frequently comes on without a whack. No touch, no whack, just, ooh, look at that, looks like a big old bruise. And it's particularly tinted towards purple. And Dr. Ellis said, when you see that, the person hasn't got hit, they haven't got touched, and still here comes a bruise. And if it's also tinted towards purple, he says that's a cobalt problem. And I don't see it real, real often, but when I do, we get them on low-dose cobalt. Now, cobalt is an essential element. I'm yelling about that, sort of, because the silly folks in the government back in Washington, D.C. have told us it's toxic. Well, sure it is if you take a whole bunch of it at once. So is water. We can drown in it. But it's an essential element. The textbooks tell us that. And if we stick it with the doses that are within the range that's found in diet surveys around the world, which is about 500 micrograms a day or less, it's not going to hurt us. And that kind of bruise that came out of nowhere. I did not get hurt, hit or hurt, I promise. And look at that. And it's a little purplish tinge. That's Dr. Ellis's famous cobalt bruise.
Yeah, well, my mom, she has a lot of those, and she'll just gently touch something, or sometimes she won't know why it came on. So she has B12, pernicious anemia. So I'm thinking, since cobalt is needed to make B12, that, or it's part of B12, I don't understand exactly. But anyway, I think that she might have a cobalt deficiency. So what would be the best method to test that? Would it be blood or urine or hair
actually
analysis?
The hair analysis usually picks that up the best, ma'am. And if you work with a doc who knows what they're doing in natural medicine, they can locate some low-dose cobalt for you, because one would have to swallow a massive quantity of B12 to get up to 500 micrograms of cobalt. I'm not saying don't swallow B12, but it's got a tiny bit of cobalt in it. You're right.
Right. Well, and then if you wanted to test silica and you wanted to test chromium, would hair analysis be the best way for those, or blood or some other?
The chromium would be best tested in hair, too. Silica, I don't usually see that tested in blood or hair. I'd have to go look it up, ma'am.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your information.
Well, thank you for calling.